Lauren, come on up. You're up next. Yep, right in front of the microphone.
Okay. Spotlight. Well, thank you so much for having me here today.
You bet.
My name is Lauren Conrad. I'm the program director for CLIMB Wyoming. CLIMB is a job training and placement program for single moms, low-income single moms, so we use federal poverty guidelines to select our participants. And we exist across the state. We've been around for 30 years, starting in Cheyenne, and we our Jackson office serves Sublette and Lincoln counties both. So we have a huge rural area, which presents some challenges in terms of transportation, but we're really navigating that and making it work and continue to serve more and more women from this area. So that's exciting. Our program includes really kind of three components. There's the hard skills training, so the training that's really directed toward the job. There are some soft skills like parenting, and just kind of general work readiness, how to be a good employee, some self-care, those kinds of things. And then we have a counseling aspect. So the group starts together and finishes together, and they have some group counseling and individual counseling. And the goal is really to identify barriers that might have gotten in your way in terms of success at work and really work through those so that when you start your job placement, you're just ready to go. Like I said, we've been around for 30 years, so the program has really grown to what it is today, and we're excited. It's for years we've been collecting data, and it's really starting to prove successful. We're learning that the structure of our program really helps to develop the executive functioning skills that are necessary to be planful and be successful in a new job. So excited about that, being able to really put some data to the anecdotal stuff. In terms of the need for our program, just in looking at Sublette County, the U.S. Census reports that 34% of families with a female head of household in this county with related children under the age of 18 live in poverty. So that's kind of a lot. And we see that feels reflected in the women from this area who either call or walk through our doors. And just in general, for the last couple of years, we've seen an increase in numbers of people who are reaching out, and oftentimes their conditions are worse. So as other resource organizations are having funding cuts, we kind of feel that as well. And just kind of the state of life of people showing up at our doors. So definitely a higher need over the last couple of years. Our outcomes, what we learn is that women who complete our program really discover self-sufficiency. They are on government assistance when they start, like food stamps and government health care. And then at the end, kind of after they're in their job for 2 months or so, they transition off of that. So that's really exciting. We really look to that as a sign of success. And we also see that kind of new sense of self-worth really leads to more community engagement. So just kind of building the economy by putting people in jobs, important jobs, and then also just kind of stimulating that community involvement are things that we see. And then some hard numbers, just to give some perspective. The last two programs that we ran, when the women started, the average hourly wage before CLIMB was about $5.58, and they were working an average of about 18 hours a week. After CLIMB, the average hourly wage was about $15.46, and they were working an average of 38 hours a week. So quite a change there. And that's an average monthly income, and just from employment, before CLIMB of about $619, and an average monthly income after CLIMB of about $2,360. So it's about a 280% increase. So just huge numbers, like real life changes that we're able to witness. And that just kind of sets the bar, and then everything else can kind of fall into place in terms of healthy daycare and that kind of thing. So it's pretty impressive to watch that happen for our moms. Our goal is really to have a pulse on local communities and understand what employment needs there might be. And an example of that is the most recent training we did was a medical office careers. So the one before that was a certified nurse assistant training that we completed. And as I was interacting with employers in all three counties, I learned that there was a need for this person who could be at the front desk of a medical office, but also jump in the back and take vital signs. So that's what we tailored this last training to, and we worked with Central Wyoming College for instructors and St. John's Hospital to really help build that program. And it was really successful. We're placing women currently. One woman from Pinedale just got a job. It's actually not a medical job, but with the new computer company in town, LR Computers, she's going to be their receptionist. Big change for her. So huge life change for her. That's the great most recent Pinedale exciting success story. And then just really wanted to point out that the employer piece is really important. When we place someone in a job, it starts off with me having a conversation with an employer and really kind of talking about what we do, like I'm with you, and why it's worth taking a chance on someone who might not have that direct experience, but who's got the support of CLIMB and has just proven that they can do it by completing this intense training, which for 6 weeks is 5 days a week. And they finish that, and then they move right into the job. So really have demonstrated that they're ready to make change and show up and work hard. So I can kind of have that conversation with employers. And once someone is placed in the job for the first 2 months, I'll stay involved, as well as the rest of our staff, to just see how we can be supportive and make sure that the employer's needs are getting met. So it's kind of like having an employee tailored for you that has continued support and training, which is a little different than hiring someone off the street. And it works. We just see over and over that these positions end up being really long-term, and people feel like it's a win-win, hiring someone and also helping a family take a step out of poverty. So that's kind of the gist of our program. And in terms of our work down here, like I said, we continue to see more interest from this area, and people are willing to make the drive to do the program. And our work here really is to, I think, begin to network with employers a little more. And part of why I'm happy to be here in front of you is that I know you have influence here and probably a lot of connections, and just kind of open up the connections for me to really be able to have conversations with employers about what their needs are and if we have someone who might be a good fit and how that might be of benefit to them. So I know there are jobs, and I keep hearing that things are stimulating a little bit in terms of the oil field, so that's exciting. And we just really want to listen, and we have the structure to kind of build a program to really meet a different community's needs. So we're here to do that and just want to really continue to serve more women from this area. So that's why I'm here today, is just to let you know that we're here, and we run two programs a year, and we've had 8 to 12 women per program, which is great, for the last year and a half. So we're going to keep plugging forward and serving more women, and hope to do that down here too.
Terrific. Go ahead.
I'll just say thank you for what you do. I've seen your little booklets over the years, and you've had some great success stories. So it's a good program.
Thanks.
So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for the community.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You bet. Good work. Any comments or questions?
Thank you. I'd like to see one.
I know you guys probably get inundated with materials, but I do have progress reports.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, please.
Thank you. And this has some good information.
I got a new one.
Return on investment.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thanks, Lauren.
Yes, thank you so
appreciate
much.
It.
For your time.
You bet. Excellent.
Thank you for a good job.
Yep.
Did you have
Do you have a card or anything?
Yes, I do. I'll grab it.
All right. A little ahead of schedule for a change.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
The thing we discussed.
Yep.
About the fire hall at Sandra.
The ambulance barn.
The ambulance barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fire hall.
Yeah, go ahead. So,
I guess the direction, do we want to go and give Mary some guidance?
Yeah, so Commissioner Rauhauser received a request.
I received a request to purchase it.
Somebody interested in purchasing the Sandra ambulance barn, and I had an opportunity to talk with Paul Ulrich from Jonah Energy. They were big in being partnership in that, and asked him if they would have any issues with us getting a an appraisal and possibly selling it. And he said that they had no concerns.
And if I'm not mistaken, if we would sell it, then that property would go back on the tax rolls. Because it's not on the tax rolls now.
It's currently owned by the county.
Right, it's currently owned by the county.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, I had an inquiry from Ultra because they just wanted to know more about it. So I asked Mary to send them a copy of the original contract that detailed who put into what, and they were going to look at that and then get back to me.
Okay. All right. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting an appraisal on it at this point.
Probably not.
And then we would have that information anyway, whether we decided to sell it or not.
So, I agree.
Anybody interested in making that motion?
I'll make the motion to get an appraisal on the Sandra ambulance barn.
Okay.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we get an appraisal on the Sandra ambulance barn. Any further discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Have you got some little business for us then, Mary?
No, I do.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Before you allow Mary the time.
Okay.
Tom, are you available Friday, June 16th from either 8 to 9:30 or 12:30 to 2?
All day.
The next time in June is a commission meeting, so that isn't going to work. So that's our chances.
To meet with Tricia.
To meet with Tricia.
Hang on. Excuse me, just one second.
Okay. Do you have your calendar, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. So. June 16th, 8 to 9:30.
Either 8 to 9:30 or 12:30 to 2.
I could do the 12:30 to 2, but probably would have to leave there by 1:30. I could do the 12:30 to 1:30.
Are you talking all of us?
No.
No.
Okay. June 16th, the meeting with Trish and Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here?
12:30 to 2 would probably be in Rob's office, I would assume.
Yes.
But I'll respond right now to him and say...
Wait a minute. No. No, I can't do that one. I can't do that Friday, but if Tom can, that's fine. I can't do the Friday.
Joel, will you give me... It shows that I'm open, but can I get a hold of you this evening? I'm going to catch my book up.
Okay. I'll wait.
Do you mind if I'll give you a call or an email letting you know that
it's... Yeah, just send me an email.
Are you available that day, Joel?
Yeah, I'm planning for... I can make either time work. 12:30 to 2 would fit me a lot better.
Okay. Would it?
Okay.
Yeah, shoot. I'm not going to be available that day. There's a possibility I could, but...
And if we get something set, then we'll let...
Okay.
Road
and then
Bridge
I can give you a definite...
Rio Verde.
Give you a definite maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kidoke. I'll wait till I hear from Tom.
Okay.
And then I got a request on that Prevention Education Summit from Renee Pape. Did any of you guys get that request? Are any of you going to be able to go?
I might. That's the night of
the
20th.
Night, evening, I think I can make.
And I told her I might be, probably could make it at 5:30 that evening. And
yeah.
I think Tom was, you were going to be there the next day, Tom?
No, he's going to be there Wednesday.
The 20th, that morning at 8:00. I get to do the...
You're welcoming everybody.
Yeah, that's always my favorite.
On the 21st.
On the 20th.
On the 21st.
We have a forced collaborative meeting that day.
I don't have anything planned.
Andy,
I'm only going to join them on the legislative roundtable and the welcoming, and that's as much as I can.
I told her I'd be there from 8 to 9 that morning.
Okay.
Come back after the commissioners' meeting. Stay for that roundtable. I will not be able to do... the next day because we have that meeting with Silver Star, but I've already communicated that
on the 21st.
Yeah,
I think I can hit the 20th in the evening.
Yeah,
I can do. I think I can hit that one too, but we'll see when that gets closer. I guess.
I think Brass on the. I don't remember who all Albert's going to be there for that. I don't recall.
No, I think it's just the local representatives.
Yes, yeah,
it's going to be Fred Baldwin. It's going to be
Albert.
Dockstetter.
Dockstetter, Ellerson.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah, and yeah. Okay.
What Mary? Time? What's that? On the 24th.
On the 17th, Joel. On the 17th.
10 o'clock.
Is the homeowners association meeting in Bondurant at? I think 11 o'clock, but I'm not sure. But I told them that I would be there if they wanted me to be there, just to give backup to Shad and the boys on the fire suppression.
Oh, okay.
All of that stuff that if and see if everybody's on the same page, which is going to be an interesting meeting with the different people in that group. Are they willing to all get on the same page to thin the trees? And
it sounds like their leadership is there.
Yes,
there's people living there that maybe not.
It'll and so it'll be nice to sit in the back.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm planning on being there to represent us.
Good.
Good. Just to say we're with Shad and the fire department.
Okay.
You'll is the state forester going to be there?
Yes,
too?
I think so.
Okay. Good.
You'll shoot us an email on that meeting with Tricia then.
And
then
yeah, as soon as I hear from Tom.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
What time is that meeting, Matt?
There's so many meetings.
I'm not sure. 1 o'clock or 11 o'clock.
All right, Mary, you had some business for
okay.
us.
Okay. Sorry, Mary.
That's okay.
Oh, just a minute.
What?
Yeah, just giving
time's up.
Minute's over.
Yeah. I need to talk to you for a minute. Minute's up.
Next.
Okay. I have, I got some stuff for you to sign, Andy. This is the annual compensation agreement that Robin talked about this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So since I have the complete document. And this is the MOU. That's for later. This is the LaBarge landfill agreement that we talked about earlier, and there's three copies.
Okay.
So three times. And they still need to go to LaBarge.
Okay.
It's been signed, it's been signed by
there,
Lincoln
Tom?
County.
Mm-hmm. You had a comment?
No,
oh,
no.
I saw you raising your arm there.
I was
stretching, waking yourself up,
mm-hmm.
something.
I got my afternoon nap coming out.
You're getting this trigger hand.
I've got this nervous tick.
I didn't say finger. I said hand.
I've got this nervous tick. Mac. Mac.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're fine, gentlemen. Come on in. You didn't have to peek around the corner.
Run.
Better throw your hat in first.
Then yeah, I have
see if it comes back out.
And if it's full of old or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a reimbursement for Homeland Security.
Homeland Security grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of you's lucky because one of these batteries is out.
Oh, perfect.
I'll just speak loudly.
I don't think it's you, though, Todd.
Crap. I'm
going to
speaker.
We're going to let Mary finish her business here first.
You asked for help on the banks portion.
On the what?
Banks portion of that asphalt.
Want me to change the battery on
these?
Please?
Yeah. No, that's all
that. It's okay. I have to wait to change that.
I got about a total of about 3 hours last
night.
Cotton has
a
good
one.
I think I'm good. I don't need anything.
Would you quit talking to her so she can finish her business?
It is. She did.
She told you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a proposal for a... let's see. This is a letter of engagement from Leo Riley. who is our auditor. And there's two copies of the letter that would need to be signed. And they are the folks that do our annual financial audit. And the cost they are proposing is not to exceed $36,500 for this year.
How's that compared to last year?
Well, it's this proposal will probably not be that amount because they also bid the amount for the single audit. So single audit is if we spend more than $750,000 in federal funds, we have to have another piece of audit done. We haven't. They changed the threshold on that because the threshold used to be 500,000, now it's 750, and we haven't hit 750 the past couple years. So last year we were at 32, is what we ended up spending. So I would imagine it actually end up being about that.
Somewhere in the same area. We'll need a motion to enter into this contract once again.
So move.
Don't everybody
I guess
talk
we're not
going
to have an audit.
That's fine with me.
Second.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we enter into a contract with Leo Riley and company for our yearly audits. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion
saving
carries.
My words out.
Guardian season. Guardian season. Reloading. I'm glad you're up again.
Fine, we just wouldn't be in business in about a year.
Right. Yeah, it'd be 1 year exactly.
It'd be 1 year exactly
and
if we don't audit. We'd be out of business.
What's the downside to that?
They will come and take all of our stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. call up the state saying it's all yours.
Some county no longer exists.
We don't want to do this anymore.
Want to move it into Fremont?
That'd be fun.
I just stuck this in here. I have a couple of things about the Title 25 gatekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, we received, remember, you guys received a letter from the Department of Health. I forwarded that letter to the county attorney's office. The county attorney's office, we generated a letter between Clay and Commissioner Nelson to send to the Department of Health. As we were putting that letter together, we got the grant application from High Country Behavioral Health to be our gatekeeper because they're the ones that the Department of Health has designated. We have concerns about that because we don't do any business
with
them.
They don't do anything for it. Well, I shouldn't say it that way.
Our Title 25 folks, we have a contract in Jackson. They're served at the hospital there, so we don't deal with any or very little Title 25 work with these guys.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I think the intent of the state, and I think the intent of the newest legislation with regards to Title 25, is to have services available so that they might be able to either make a determination or provide outpatient services counseling to prevent or to prevent placement at, say, St. John's. In other words, they're looking at options so it's not all inpatient treatment. They're looking at options to maybe help with the decision-making process if they can do it on an outpatient basis. And I think that's what their intent was statewide. And part of that came from the discussion at WCCA with Eric Barlow, who's on that committee. So
okay.
I think that's what that's about.
Okay. Anyway, we did ask some questions. We haven't received a response back from the Department of Health because we want them to tell us what the role is going to be with these people. Clay's concerned because we have a good working relationship right now with the situation that we have, and we are unique in that we don't have a hospital. So some of that. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on with that. But we did receive a copy of the grant application and wanted comments by the 31st, which we did not comment. because the application came 5 days ahead of that. You guys hadn't met.
Right.
So it's gone in without any comment from us. We still have this thing going. So that's that. Let's see what else I have here. Oh, somebody to meet with the Daniels Fund?
Oh.
Okay. How about a how about a beer permit for Rendezvous for the Pinedale Lions Club on July 9th at the Rendezvous grounds?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve a beer permit for the Pinedale Lions Club for the Rendezvous Rodeo? Just Rendezvous.
Barbecue.
Rendezvous Barbecue.
After Rendezvous.
Okay.
Yeah.
July 9th. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. Then, let me stop.
How much longer?
A little bit.
Okay. Why don't you guys, you fellas, go ahead and then we'll let Mary continue on.
I can go a lot faster.
Good.
Good.
We've heard that before today.
We've heard that today. It went for 45 minutes.
It wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. I finally got off my duff and started sending these out. I hope you guys all gave them last night. We really haven't been overly busy.
Right.
And to be honest, most of this has just been busy work, helping different departments with budgeting and what have you. First on my agenda is Rendezvous Point. I would recommend not awarding that. I've worked with Dan, visited with Dan, and there's just
no room.
No room.
Right. And that's fine.
You know, so, I mean, I guess my suggestion would be to possibly try to raise more money, have Paul raise more money, rebid it maybe next year or something, if he's got the budget. He at least now knows where the budget's got to be.
Yeah. So, we're there. Yeah, we'll just not accept that bid.
I mean, and Dan, like I say, Dan, he says, Todd, he said, I feel bad, but he said, I...
No big deal. Tell him don't sweat the petty things.
Okay. The Pinedale Fire Station. I've worked with Chad. I'm assuming he got you the square footage for what we talked about, doing that veneer on the bottom of that fire station.
Yeah, so go ahead and bring up your question, Commissioner Knoll. This is the time.
Maybe you guys have all chosen rock, but why did we pick rock? Is there different options?
It's rock.
The rusted
brick,
tin.
Whatever. Or you could do the tin.
Oh, so it's the same number for
either. Same price for all that?
I went with the higher price stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that what you prefer, is rock? Or?
No, I don't, aesthetically, I think rock would be more pleasing, yes. But if I don't have a preference. I mean, the end result is we need a building that doesn't leak and doesn't let critters in. So whatever we need to do to make that occur is perfectly fine. I don't have a preference over rock versus the...
Is it a substantial difference if we go with something different?
Now, if we go with that similar to the library, we've got a price for that. Remember?
Right, yeah, and I know that one. That one got thrown out a long time ago.
That one got through completely.
But rock versus tin versus anything else, would we save a substantial amount or
no?
Okay.
No. I mean, we can go with like the lap rock, the stackable or brick.
The Mackie board.
Would be cheaper than river rock. Or that type of
right.
lick and stick. I'm doing it to my house right now. That's why I understand that.
You're licking and sticking your house?
Yeah, and I'm getting slivers.
Okay.
But, so, yes, tin would be cheaper, more inexpensive.
But not that much.
But I don't think, you still got to do that same framing to get it out, and you got to build that ledge for it. Somehow to seal that to keep it from getting moisture down in back behind it, because we've got to protect that. So you still got the same framing to extend that out. Right now there is galvanized tin behind the stucco.
Oh.
I mean, it's that shiny galvanized. The reason the stucco is got holes in it is they used, well, back when they first started using stucco, they used kind of a what do you want to call it, kind of a plastic binder back behind the stucco. Now they use chicken wire. Well, that the birds eat right through the stuff. And where if it was metal, they wouldn't have done that. The one thing I did fail to do on this is add patch in that stucco. You know, there's, what would you say, Chad? There's probably, I'm going to say, 8 holes, bird holes throughout that. Personally, I think maintenance or somebody could do that a lot more inexpensive. The question is how do you match the color at this point? Because some of them are in the darker color and some
never
are
done stuck
color.
Up. So I wouldn't know. But we could ask Doug.
Or like I say, it's not a real high dollar amount. It would probably be covered in the estimate that the 15% that I put on the estimate to do that. There's really not that many.
Yeah, maybe 8 or 10 bird holes.
Yeah.
Birds are in there now. They're squeaking and squawking and crawling through the walls as we speak.
Let's take the chance and see if you can get it covered in that estimate.
I do think, personally, I think so. I try to be pretty conservative. I know you guys don't like me to be conservative, but you don't like me coming in a little bit either. So.
Okay.
And we can go, like I say, I've heard the ledge rock is a lot cheaper than the stuff you stick on, as far as square height, as far as the square footage price. So we could look at going, even a red brick I think would look good, personally. And that'd be a lot cheaper than the rock. I shouldn't say a lot, but to me a lot.
I think if all the options are really similar, then pick one.
So
pick one, but be kind.
I pick the cheap one, though.
Do we need to make a decision today to
move forward with it, or what we're going to use?
You don't have prices for us today, do you?
No. I mean, and what I suggested to Shad is on this, we can either have someone detail that framing up, or I can have Kyle do it. Our structural engineer do that, and then Shad can just get quotes from the local contractors to bid it. And you could even do alternates to see where they come in. You know, pick two that you like, and bid them as alternates. And if one's substantially cheaper, but you still get the same look, I was thinking maybe they match a Big Pine, either Marbleton's, something similar to that, but. But I
like the alternate idea.
I think we're covered in the. And I even talked to a contractor, so I wasn't out to lunch on it. So.
I think we just need to authorize Todd to move forward on this, using his best judgment.
When we're authorizing to move forward, is that for the roof too, or just the?
The roof. I have not got a quote on. I mean, that's what we're waiting on. We got a quote.
I mean, just sort of having to drag someone out there and make them give you a quote.
Give me a quote.
And he was on the roof. When was he up there, Shad?
2 weeks ago.
I tried to call him yesterday. I tried to call him this morning.
Are we to one single contractor with this?
The only roofer that I know of in this area. We got a quote from American Roofing in Salt Lake, and it was over $70,000, and I can't see. But going back to Rendezvous Point, that was one of the high costs. It was over $36,000 for just the roof for that Rendezvous Point. But the roof needs to be, it does need to be repaired.
It's currently a metal roof right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an overlay up there? I've never been on the roof.
No. The only thing that we've got in there is we're going to get rid of the skylights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only thing outside of just...
That's what's causing most of the problem?
No. It definitely several problems caused by the skylights, but I wouldn't say most of the problems. The entire roof leaks the entire building leaks everywhere.
Okay.
Okay. But I, like I said, and as soon as I receive something, I can email it to all of you,
right,
just to give you a heads up.
Keep working on it, but go ahead with the improvements that need to be made on the outside.
Okay. Just as a note, the sheriff's addition, I guess, that Dave called and asked me to help get him some cost estimates. I'm sure you guys have seen all of them for a shooting range shelter out at Daniel, and then the addition to the storage building here in Pinedale.
So just maybe to fill you in a little bit, neither of those are going to pass it through this budget session.
I just do what I ask.
So don't stress.
Well, there's other issues, and I'll get down to it a little bit, but I've talked with the town, because I'm not sure as far as the Code 50, if setbacks will allow us to do what they want to do.
Okay.
So,
yeah, well, don't stress over this one.
Okay.
Okay.
The Daniel Fire Station, Shad and I talked about it. I just haven't got it.
Should I tell him, Shad?
Yes.
Yeah, don't stress over this one this year either.
Then I won't continue forward on that one.
Well,
what's that? Well, we stress over it during budget. He doesn't have to stress about it right now.
So after yesterday's discussion, we didn't take a formal position, but my recommendation is to move forward with some of the preliminary work to be ready to look at it next year and next year's budget. But you know, all the architectural work and groundwork and maybe well work would be what I recommend we look at.
Keep me posted. And while we're on, Shad,
did you do that yesterday?
Yeah.
Fire budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We met down at the fire training facility Friday. Shad's done a bang up job with Ultra. I guess I don't know if that Shad started that or not, but they're willing to donate some money and labor to help set props up for fire training. Associated with that, there was a gas line quote from Questar to run that line down there, which I just need to throw out there. We looked at it with the town of Marbleton when we did the treatment plant. And our quote that back then was 25 or 26,000. So somebody's pulling some strings with somebody. I did discuss with Mayor Robinson, and they're willing to ante up some money to upsize that line to pay for the additional line size, so that they can tie onto it in the future at the treatment plant if they ever need to. And I don't know where you're at on that project, but that's just... the storm drain back here. We met with the town this morning. I looked at their catch basins. My initial thought, anyway, I'm fearful of it because of the depth of their storm drains. So Andre and I discussed it. If they would allow us to tie into their sewer back here, it simplifies the whole project. We're talking maybe a 15-foot area of the sidewalk that we'd end up cutting out, adding some valves and a few things. They want to be able to measure the flows going into it, which we can put a little simple flume inside that box. And I was thinking just some slide gates, so that you can open and close which direction it. So basically do the same thing as what we was talking with the storm drain, except doing it into their sewer.
Well, we already piped in at.
Where you pumped into it?
Just do it underground.
Yeah.
And then we can open and close it, you know,
right.
Open it in the winter.
I think we've got the agreement from the city, don't we, Tom?
Yeah. I don't know about it. We've got anything from the sewer for the sewer yet.
Oh, I thought we...
Not, yeah. I think they were okay going into the
storm drain.
But this is sewer.
Oh, this is into the sewer.
This
so we're not
the
getting...
Sewer.
We probably got the most water this year than any year from I haven't been around long enough to know, but from what I've been asking, I mean, this was probably the first year we've had to bring out motor graders, you know, two or three times to get all that ice out of the street.
I think we
think that most of our water issue is coming from the bleeders that were running from the building. We were able to divert one of them that's already going into sewer, but the one that's really getting us is for the fire systems in here. And they said, you know, this is what Josh said. He said if the issue was really bleeders, then I mean they may allow us to do it because that bleeders are acceptable.
I mean, we're talking less than 70,000 gallons a year.
Okay. I mean, it goes off about twice a week, and this was the worst year. So.
I mean, just to give you an idea, the problem with dumping clean water into sewer is it dilutes it and it causes them problems at their treatment plant. So they have reason to be reluctant of allowing us to do it. What the mayor had mentioned to us is they've got an under drain system. They've got their sewer line that's encased in rock that takes all the groundwater, and that's what he said we could dump into Tyler. Mm-hmm. Not into their pipe, but into the drain system.
Yes.
That makes me nervous because if we start washing that gravel away, you start seeing the road settle and a few things like that. The worst case scenario is we go back, we can tie into their storm drain system, we have to dig out into Fremont Street. And I says, guys, you don't want us cutting your roads. I says, let's work with us. So he suggested we're going to do a little bit more investigating. We're going to go and dye this line and see where it actually runs. Nobody knows where it runs.
Okay.
That's a question I had for Mary. Is have you got prints of when?
Was it Skinner? Is that time?
Yeah, he's pretty sure it goes right there, but
and everything indicates
the flow goes this direction, but we don't know where it turns. Does it turn and go out in the middle of the street and then back down? We don't. I mean, we've all seen stranger things, you know, when you start taking in stuff.
Continue to investigate.
So, but I do think that, and he suggested coming up and going to their council meeting, which I'm glad to do on Monday night if it looks like we. I told Andre I'd drag him with me. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a phone call to the mayor and getting him on board prior to, and he's been very good to work with.
I would say at this time you're better off. I mean, just meet with him and see if he'll go along with the sewer system idea.
Yeah,
that would be much better. Right on. I mean, we could do it right there on the sidewalk.
Like say it's
causing any problems, yeah. And it'd be
see if you can get him on board with the sewer system.
Okay,
proposal then.
Well, and Josh offered to come bring some dye out and work with Andre and I this afternoon to.
There you go.
So they're. I feel pretty good about the meeting.
I don't think anybody wants to dig up the street, so.
Right. So if you get his guys to recommend it,
yep.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. That's what we're shooting for.
Very good. Okay.
I'll be much faster.
Carry on.
Just things that we've been getting done and working on. The clinic, we had to replace that other water heater, so. We did the one that was about $8,000, and then sure enough, yeah, the other one failed, and so we've gotten that one done as well.
And find out both of them.
Mm-hmm. But they're both finished. We got them.
They're both $8,000.
Yeah. They were both the same age, and we kind of expected it might happen that way, but you know, why replace it if it's still working?
Right.
But it's done. We're almost done with all the boiler preventive maintenance that we have a Superior Boiler come out and do, Blake and Braden. And there's just a few little things to do, but all the big stuff's done. Still looking into the circuit court, the bollards for the circuit court right over there. I don't think that's going to be too expensive now that I've been looking at it. And then, I don't know if I mentioned this, but we had that leak at Aspen Grove from that apartment. You guys are familiar with that? Mm-hmm. they finally moved the guy into another apartment, which we were doing everything we possibly could to try and figure out what the problem was and fix it without having to move him out. But finally, we just couldn't figure out what it was. Well, they moved him out, and then we went over there and figured out exactly what it was, which is fine because we're going to have to pull that shower, at least pull it and lift it so we can get underneath it, because when they installed it, the piece that's built into that shell is not sealed. Yeah. And the only way to do it is to lift it. So we'll have to take tile out, at least a section of it, lift it, get it sealed up, put it back in, and then put the tile back in. It's not going to be as bad as it sounds, but at least we know where the leak was coming from now, because it was a mystery. I mean, we had professional plumbers there. We'd all been there multiple times and could not figure it out.
That's what value engineering gets you.
Yeah. So, and then the other two things we got here, we got the Marbleton Clinic that asphalt, there's a depression underneath there, and so it continually has been rotting away. And we were looking at patching it, and they said we should probably not do that because it's just going to continue to do it. So Rio Verde put together a estimate for fixing the problem properly, which would entail taking out half of that parking lot, fixing the depression, putting in asphalt and a valley to get the water to run away, and it's $28,000 to do that. I've been trying to get a quote. I just got it yesterday, and they were trying to get me a quote on what it would be to just patch that spot, and they're really reluctant on even giving me one because they said we shouldn't fix it like that. So that's what it'll cost to take care of that. You guys can look at that if you like. And then the other one is the 4-H building, the lot out there. They did one for that as well to make it to where the water drainage is better over there. And that one is going to have two valleys they're going to put in and a lot of material, and that one's like $25,000 to get all that water to drain out of there properly. And we really can't do anything with putting in a grass or anything in the back until we get the dirt set up properly, because if we did that, then we'd have to dig it all out again. So
once again, it was built in a hole.
Yeah.
So why wasn't this addressed when we did the project in the first place?
What's that on the...
On the 4-H building.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Seems like a mistake in engineering or something.
Yeah, I don't, I mean...
I had conversations with Mark Eatinger, and he says that the architects designed the building. Need to hire a civil engineer to pick the elevation. Where he sees the lack of, because he says not only this one, it's the assisted living, the fairgrounds building, everyone is built too low. So we're missing a step in our building procedures.
Should have all filled in before they ever started.
Well, they just shouldn't have dug the hole too deep.
Yeah, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we have the problem, so.
We need to fix the problem.
It's a mess.
Yep.
And it's just destroying the building.
I understand.
Which one's that?
4-H.
4-H.
So the issue here is, and I'm going to, we don't want to make the same mistake again.
Yes.
in the future. When we do this, we need to get dirt contractors to do the dirt contracting work. We get the regular contractors to do the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then we don't run into this issue again.
And I think there was warnings on that when I remember Josh Adams coming in and saying, whoa, too damn low, and everybody kept going, which That's hindsight.
Yeah, it's we're not going to point any fingers at anybody or who did what. This is just what we need to do moving forward. Fix this, and let's move forward.
I remember when I first started, I mean, with the county in general, I thought there was a building that was with the same issue with the Marbleton, maybe?
Oh, the senior center.
Yeah,
center.
Yeah, it was
same thing.
Yeah, yep. I thought so. I just vaguely remember. So.
So yeah, they ended up going back and putting a French drain in that one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Do what we need to do to fix it.
Okay.
Keeps on giving.
Yeah.
What are we doing on the parking lot?
What's that?
What are we doing on the parking lot?
So this proposal well, that, for gravel and a valley pin, basically.
Yeah. This one here is they're going to have to tear out half of the parking lot, build it up underneath, and then redo it with a valley.
And this
that would be the proper way to fix it.
The area outlined here, that parking lot. Which is not the main parking lot or active parking lot. That looks like the alley, or what used to be the alley connected, or is the alley between that and the old clinic.
There's just a huge sinkhole right there. Not a sinkhole, but the asphalt's just tearing out of there, and they want it fixed, and I mean, we want to fix it, and we were going to try and get it in with all this asphalt repair stuff that we're doing, but they said this one to do it properly, they should probably estimate it separately.
Mark or Andre, so on the crush base installation,
it's really that area adjacent to the old clinic next to the alley. It's not what's actively used in terms of the main clinic parking lot.
No, in Marlton.
Oh, okay. You know where the old clinic is, that alley that runs between it? It's just adjacent to that alley.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to be down there tomorrow if you want to take a look at that.
Yeah,
probably should.
Okay.
I guess my recommendation is go with 6th, and if at any point we decide to excavate and do asphalt, it's prepped and ready. They just pull out 3 inches in asphalt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Prep it for everything, worst case. And what do you think?
Well, I'd go 8 if you're ever going to asphalt that. Because right now, because of the barn and everything on this one, Billy just ditched that because the county did all the dirt work.
Mm-hmm.
Or Roman Bridge did.
They come in and cleaned up.
They tried to
fix what was the problem as best they could.
And we knew they couldn't. Because right now this is actually higher than the barn.
Mm.
You see what I mean? But we couldn't raise it anymore. Otherwise, we'd be thrown to the existing building.
So I guess what I'm asking is just.
I would go extra deep on the road base if you ever have ideas of paving that out there.
Well, I wouldn't say the whole thing, but the parking areas possibly in the future if we ever get that far. I don't know what everybody else's feelings are with that.
Well, there's supposed to be a master planning group that's never met also out there. So
just consider that. Because it's either 4 or 8, right?
Right.
And I think the subgrade there is pretty significant, so you would probably get away with 6. But
yeah.
That's just my personal feeling. You're the expert.
No, I like base under my asphalt.
Okay. So are we move forward with these? Okay.
How are we on funds? Do we need to budget?
I can pay for the Marbleton project. We have the rural healthcare district money that they pay us.
Okay.
So that's not a problem.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Would you say the extension was?
It was 25. We have in that budget for improvements, then we.
And that's it.
We didn't need
nothing else.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Move forward.
That's all I got.
Thanks for making
it,
Chief.
And short.
He was in a shorter room.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mary, you got a little bit more you want to finish before we go to the... And then you can move into the liquor license renewals?
You're at 2 o'clock right now.
Yeah. How much longer would your other business take?
It's going to take a few minutes.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into the liquor license renewals, the public hearing, and then we'll let you finish after you get finished with that. Does that
okay.
sound good? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we've advertised for the renewals and transfer of retail liquor licenses, and we have restaurant liquor licenses and a malt beverage permit that we issue. The applications were submitted. The applications are in order. I don't have anybody that is out of order as far as their application is concerned. And by that, I mean that they've been looked at by the liquor division, and they've not raised any concerns about those. Our retail licenses that we have advertised are the Green River Bar, the Boulder Store, the Elkhorn, Lakeside Lodge, Daniel Junction, White Pine Ski Area and Resort, Kendall Valley Lodge, Half Moon Lake Lodge, and we have a transfer and renewal of the place. Actually, it isn't a transfer. It is a brand new license because we didn't transfer. They let it go last year,
okay.
If you recall.
So it's a
so
new
be
one.
A new license.
Okay.
So those are the retail liquor licenses that we've advertised that are ready to be approved for renewal for this year.
Okay, very good.
Do you want to take them by pieces or you want to bundle them?
I think we could take them, bundle them all, although we,
okay.
Let's bundle the ones that exist and then maybe do the new one.
By itself?
Separate.
Okay.
By itself.
So, okay. Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the renewals as advertised.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the renewals for the county licenses and permits, liquor licenses and permits, as advertised. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then we have one new one.
But I have some more licenses also.
Oh, okay.
Those are just the retail licenses.
Oh, okay. Well, let's finish those other ones then.
Then I have, so we're going to hold the place for a second.
We'll hold them out.
The restaurant liquor licenses, recall a restaurant liquor license, the primary criteria for that is that you have to sell 60% food, 40% alcohol. They are not able to operate a bar. They can't sell packaged goods. So it's drinks with dinner, basically, is what it is. Those licenses that we have are Fort William Recreation Area, Solis Cabin Catering, which is it's up at Bongerant. What do they call
it? Oh, the Branding Iron?
Branding Iron, yeah. Boulder Lake Lodge, and that's it for restaurant licenses. We have three.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept those restaurant licenses that are presented.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the restaurant liquor licenses as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Then the last one that I have, Mr. Chairman, is a retail malt beverage permit. This is a beer-only type of license, and we have one permit holder, and it's Rim Station.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the retail malt beverage permit for Rim Station.
Second?
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the retail malt beverage permit as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. And we have one new one.
So, Mr. Chairman, we have a new license that's for the place. There has been a license there for ever, long time. It was given up last year. They did not renew, the owner did not renew it, and so now they are going to operate, and they have a person that's leasing the operation, I believe, and they want a new retail license.
This is a retail license.
It's a retail license, yeah.
All right. Motion?
Motion. Accept it as advertised.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded.
We're all gun shy.
Yeah, no doubt.
You need a buzzer.
That we approve the new retail liquor license to the place as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I have another issue. I know that you've had some discussions at your meetings with at the Commissioners Association. A few months ago, I believe in March, we had a public meeting concerning new liquor laws and what's been removed from the liquor law, what's been included with the liquor law, so there's some changes there. We've done some coordination with the towns in our county because the prime issue that we have is hours of operation. Hours of operation have been 6 to 2 for a long time, but now hours of operation could be anything you want them to be.
Right.
And so probably the three issues that the commissioners need to address, we've prepared a resolution. Matt's here. Matt's done quite a bit of work on this, coordinating with the other liquor authorities. But if you want to bear with me, I'll read the resolution to you. Resolution to regulate the sales of alcoholic beverages in Sublette County. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Sublette County have been given oversight of the sales of alcoholic beverages in the unincorporated areas of Sublette County pursuant to Title 12 of the Wyoming State Statutes. Now, therefore, be it resolved, pursuant to Wyoming statutes, and there are several sites, any other applicable statute under Title 12 of the Wyoming State Statutes, the Board of County Commissioners of Sublette County hereby declare licenses may begin alcoholic or malt beverage sales in the licensed building at 6 a.m. and shall close and cease the sale of both alcoholic and malt beverages promptly at the hour of 2 a.m. the following day. This is the same as the current law. Mm-hmm. And again, we've coordinated with the towns.
All of the municipalities
Everybody's
are
doing
on
the
board
same
with
thing.
This.
Yes. Okay. Next thing, that any holder of a retail liquor license shall not be required to operate continuously and may cease business activities intermittently due to seasonal closures. This does affect a couple of our retail license holders. We've got Mr. Yeah. Blackburn back here. You guys close for a little bit with right. your retail license,
right.
and this will allow you to do that. Otherwise, you have to operate once a week, every week.
Right.
So it does give, and I know Lakeside Lodge closes for a month or so during the year, so it allows those four retail licenses the opportunity to close without being in violation. No person under the age of 21 shall enter or remain in an establishment that is primarily for off-premise sales of alcoholic liquor or malt beverages unless accompanied by a parent, spouse, or legal guardian who is 21 years of age or older. Current law allows that. That no licensee or agent, employee, or server thereof shall be knowingly permit any person under the age of 21 years to enter or remain in the licensed building where alcoholic or malt beverages are dispensed unless the establishment is operating a restaurant with a commercial kitchen where the primary source of revenue from the operation is from the sale of food and not from the sale of alcoholic or malt beverages. So again, keeping children out of bars, okay for them to be in restaurants that serve alcohol, just like it is now. The last thing that we have in our resolution is that we've listed our license fees. Just as a portion of this and a courtesy to the public, retail license liquor licenses beyond 5 miles of Pinedale are $625. Retail liquor licenses within 5 miles of Pinedale are $1,500. Restaurant liquor licenses up to $5,000 in gross liquor sales are $300, and then it's $100 for each $1,000 of gross sales. Up to $12,000. Then malt beverage permit is $125. And the end of this, any violation of these provisions will result in the appropriate enforcement action under Title 6 or Title 12 of the Wyoming statutes. Dated this date.
Okay. You're pleased with this resolution, Matt?
really, it doesn't change anything. What changes is the enforcement mechanism and authority, and that's you gentlemen now.
Yay.
Yeah. So it can include revocation of liquor license if there is a violation, or it could be potentially a criminal penalty if somebody's serving minors alcohol. So really nothing is changing in terms of the text of the statutes. It's you gentlemen get to enforce it now.
Thank you. Okay. We'll need a motion to adopt the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve a resolution to regulate the sales of alcoholic beverages in Sumner County.
A second.
Okay. It has been
question.
Moved and seconded to approve this resolution. Further discussion?
Just for point of clarification, this resolution deals with retail liquor licenses within and beyond 5 miles of Pinedale. What does that do for the other end of the county?
It actually...
Everything's outside of 5 miles of Pinedale?
No, it's actually municipalities, and then everything outside of a municipality is the county. The five-mile thing has to do with the amount they pay.
Understand, but it specifically says beyond 5 miles of Pinedale. It does not say 5 miles beyond the municipality.
Also, it talks about all three towns.
Unincorporated area.
Unincorporated.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the resolution says. I just had a question on that. I understand.
Yeah, let me look. I guess I didn't catch that.
I didn't either.
Matt, come on up.
So, sir, where are you referencing, Commissioner? Aha. Okay, so that's
this should be municipalities, period, or townships, or whatever, because it doesn't reference Marbleton and Big Piney.
So that brings up two things, because I don't know what the fees are in Marbleton and Big Piney.
Okay.
And the only place that we've got a license is within 5 miles is Pinedale.
It's Pinedale. Okay. So what do you think? Should we...
How about... beyond 5 miles of any municipality and within 5 miles.
Because it wouldn't matter.
Municipality, because it doesn't matter.
If it's Pinedale or Piney.
Pinedale, Marbleton, Big Piney, whatever.
Right.
So we can change that word, that wording to read any municipality.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that if you're good with
so
that.
So we can still adopt this contingent on the
change.
No, is a problem because we don't know what they
the
charge
fees
them.
Are.
Oh. We don't know what the fees are in Marbleton and Big Piney.
Okay.
It's $1,500 in Pinedale for a license, which is the maximum.
So there's
I don't know what
their fees
are,
could be different.
But we don't have any licenses that are within 5 miles either of Marbleton or Big Piney. We don't have a license. The closest license to Marbleton and Big Piney.
I see what you're saying.
In the
and
county
that's why the name.
That's why the name.
Asking,
yeah, that's why the name is there because we actually don't
place,
have it.
Why don't they mention it there?
Yeah.
We don't have any.
They're inside.
The within 5 miles of any other municipality.
Yeah, I don't have any other licenses.
We have
so what I would recommend, I would adopt it as is, and if we ever do get a license that fits in that category, I mean, this is a living document.
We can amend the resolution.
We can amend it.
I just had the question.
Okay.
No, it's a fair point. Yeah.
I would imagine that we're going to do this document every year.
Okay, so if we ever do have that come up, we can...
Then we'll have to amend the resolution.
Sure. Okay. If you gentlemen are comfortable and Mary are comfortable on
the you good with that, Commissioner Burnett?
And even today,
yes.
We don't have any county licenses that are within 5 miles of Pinedale.
Of any other municipality other than Pinedale.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on this then, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay.
I know at certain times the operators could apply for extended night.
Like,
you know, I don't know, during rendezvous.
24-hour license.
Yeah. How does
We have nothing that pertains to that. No, we haven't killed that. Usually when, we haven't done those for a really long time.
Right.
But the dealers would probably come to you and ask for extended hours of operation.
That would be a case
for special
by case.
Events. Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, like, it's been 20-some years since we've issued one, and it was like for New Year's Eve at the place.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't happen out in the county like they do in the towns. The towns, I believe, now with the new law, and I don't know if it's because of the new law or before, but I think they can issue four different events or four different nights, but that's it.
Okay.
They changed it this year to, from 4 to 2.
The town did, but they still can do 4. They can, they have an option of doing all 4, but they've only allowed 2.
This year it will be 2.
Did you have a comment also?
I would just reinforce in the 2 was confirmed.
Okay, all right. Further questions?
Just outside the city limits, it's up to us. Inside the town, it's up to the town.
Yeah, correct. Yep. Any other, any further discussion?
No.
It has been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution number 17-100311N, a resolution to regulate the sales of alcoholic beverages in Sublette County. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask who made the motion?
Mr. It was Joel.
Mr. Rawhauser.
And we all need to sign this.
I know, it was a loud, resounding vote.
Thanks, Matt.
It was.
It's short.
Can I just say something real quick, that our liquor license holders have been wonderful, and they all passed the last compliance check with 100% for not serving minors, so I just wanted to give you that little tidbit of information. They've been working really well with tips training and
cool.
stuff.
Good.
Excellent.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Getting this all cleared before July 1.
Mr. Crane.
In terms of enforcement, now going to the county, I think the state used to sort of do that, checking to see if they're selling to underage. Is that now following the sheriff's office, or?
It's always been with the liquor division.
Will the liquor division continue to do that?
Yeah.
They'll still be coming in and doing that test.
That's good. Good to know. All right, you have a few more items of business.
Chad is, when we discussed the props at the fire training facility, and Todd just went through what the cost of putting the gas line in and that type of thing. He needs approval to go forward or no.
Well, do we have the agreement from Ultra? Yeah, come on up.
So I'd ask Todd and our training officer Will to be here with us today. We've been working with Ultra for quite a while now to put together a plan. They've generously offered to donate their props and about a week's worth of labor and some associated costs with installation to truly make the training facility what's always been intended to be. One of the things I need to do is ask for permission from the county commissioners to allow them to do that. They said they're ready to start work tomorrow or whenever you're ready to give them approval. They're ready to get down there and install those props and run the natural gas line from wherever the meter connect is going to come in and all the way to all the props, and then continue the natural gas line all the way to the actual classroom facility as well, so we can get off of propane and go to natural gas at the training facility. So that's one of the things I'd like to ask for permission from the Board of Commissioners today, would be to allow Ultra to do that.
Just to move forward with that project. Mm-hmm. And once again, that isn't costing us anything.
No, that's their portion of the cost share. What they've asked me for is for us to cover our portion of the cost share, which would be to run the natural gas line from the pavement on 5th Street down the unpaved portion of the road past the sewer treatment facilities and then down into the where the chain link fence begins at the training facility, and then install a meter there that they can tap into those props and run. So the quote that we have from Questar is $13,000,
13.3. Yeah, just under 13.5, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry to let the cat out of the bag.
No, impression was that we'd meet and present this together.
Oh, I thought you'd meet yesterday, sorry.
Oh, it was an official, yes, it was a budget meeting. Anyhow, we'd received a quote from Questar for $13,000 to run the line and then an additional $2,000 to create the meter set. And so that's one of the things that I would like to request from the Board of Commissioners today, is for approval to expend that money, and I can afford that within my budget, within the training line item that we have.
Out of your training line item.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions, gentlemen? Tom?
Who's going to represent the county in this construction work as far as quality? I would look to.
As far as altars work?
Yeah. I mean, we're digging trenches and backfilling and so.
Yeah, and we, the other day when we met on the site, we walked in. I have no problem being there.
Well, we would need to authorize Todd to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we need to have someone there that represents us.
Make sure it's done right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't end up with a giant sinkhole.
Okay. That's fine. So, yeah, we can do that in our authorization to proceed forward. We can authorize Todd to be our representative on that also. Do we have more discussion on this? Are we ready to move forward?
Yes.
Okay. Then, yeah, you've got our blessing to move ahead. Todd, put this on your radar and make sure it proceeds as it should.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
You betcha.
A second smaller issue. I met with the commissioners maybe a little longer ago and asked for permission to sell our old unused radios that we took out of the fire trucks and replace them with the new radios. I've reached out to a couple of companies and the highest quote that I got was $1,000 for the entire 36 radios. And I didn't think that was an appropriate amount to let those radios go for. So what I'd actually had a few fire departments in the state have reached out to me and said, hey, if you're looking to get rid of them and you want to donate them, we would accept them. And so I thought maybe that would be an acceptable solution instead of trying to sell all the radios for $1,000.
Let's give them to somebody that can use them.
Okay. So with that approval, I'll reach out and see if there's anybody that would be in need, and we'll donate them.
Do that.
Okay. That's all I need.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
We'll continue our budget discussion, huh? Okay. All right, Mary, you got a few more things before we go into our budget hearing? We need to finish business before we get into our budget hearings.
Take a short break.
Because we're gonna go out of this session and then go to a work session.
Okay. I get what you're trying to
do.
I'm catching up now.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Let's finish business.
I'm gonna have some vouchers for you guys to sign here in a second. Oh yeah, you're on the bottom. So attach a voucher to that, and then we're set for.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure that tomorrow, when you have your budget hearing with the Marbleton Senior Center folks, the Southwest Sublet Senior Center folks, they're going to want to talk about this warranty deed.
Yeah.
And they may want to. They may have some things. We have a draft warranty deed ready to go. I know you talked about stipulations or whatever.
Yeah.
So probably be ready for that tomorrow.
Right. Right. So if you have any stipulations on what they can and cannot build on this
Didn't
land.
They're not on there?
No.
No.
Okay.
Because you haven't told me.
No, okay. Haven't told her what you want those stipulations to be.
I'd responded to that email just to the effect that it had to be dedicated to senior services.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
In some fashion.
And the only thing I would want to see in there too is that they consult us before they go, before they build whatever senior services issue it was. So
that's good.
Consult us first and it be senior services related.
And that pretty much covers.
That cover a whole bunch.
Covers pretty much everything.
That's pretty good.
Okay. I have a whole bunch of bonds. I have a bond for Spencer Nichols as the president of the Big Piney Cemetery District Board, Peggy Winters as the treasurer for the Mosquito Abatement District Number 1, Wilma Shriver as the treasurer for the Upper Green River Cemetery District, for Vern McAdams as the business manager for School District Number 1, for Anita Bohm as the treasurer for the town of Marbleton, and for Chris Nelson as the treasurer for the School District Number 1.
Okay.
tax abatements.
Abatements.
Oh, fine. Wrong thing.
Fine tax abatements. Then I have two vouchers. If you'll recall, we hold reserve funds for the Pinedale Airport Board. That money's distributed from the county treasurer as opposed to coming through the county's budget. So I have two vouchers for them, one for $50.25. The other one's for $122.50. This is the 10% match money for their seal coat paving project is one of them. The other one is approach lighting. Okay. So they've been working on these this year. I'm going to hold these vouchers till the very, very end.
Okay.
Then they can be done. I do have one voucher for you to discuss, though, in open session that you've not seen. We received a request from Marilyn Filkins. She, and there's some stuff here. She, this winter, she lives out on a county road up in Bondurant. And she ran off the end of the cattle guard, did damage to her vehicle to the tune of about $1,500. We've got the estimates for the repairs, picture of the cattle guard that Billy took, and an email that goes with it.
Our fault?
Take a look at the picture.
Has Matt been through this?
He has not. Would you like a recommendation from
I'm
him?
I'm going to need some recommendation from our attorney. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
This was a bummer, same way.
Yeah.
All right. Are we safe to adjourn this meeting? Or do you still have some more things we need to do in this meeting?
No. Okay. The only thing we're still.
No? Okay.
Where'd the pictures go?
It's on the box. There's a picture.
It looks like a no-brainer, but I want to consult the attorney. Oh, don't mess up
your
papers.
Don't mess up your papers.
Okay, thank you.
Is this our next Saturday?
Yeah.
Are we going
to? Well, we're going to here just as soon as Matt gets done looking at these papers. We're going to adjourn this meeting, and we're going to have a break.
And Matt will be back.
Okay.
He'll be back at 3:30.
Okay.
Motion for adjournment?
Yep, that's all I'm waiting for.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. We are adjourned from our regular county business meeting, and we're just going to have a workshop from here on out.
Mm-hmm.